Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the Pharisees went away and planned to trap Jesus in saying the wrong thing. Dear friends of Christ, mouse traps. Now, they're interesting contraptions, and they're simple, simply built. There's a bait, and there's the trigger. And, of course, you bait the mouse trap with peanut butter or something that draws the mouse in, cheese, and that mouse finds that irresistible snack and goes to take a bite, and of course there's the trigger, the bait and the trigger, a trap. Well, that's exactly what they were doing to Jesus. They were setting a trap. There's the bait and there's the trigger. And of course the bait was a political question that was loaded. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And if Jesus said, yes, we should pay taxes, then they'd accuse Jesus of supporting the Roman government, which the Jews hated. And if he said, no, you shouldn't pay taxes, then they'd turn him over to the Roman government and say, well, he's an insurrectionist. So the question was baited in the sense as a trap that no matter what he said, he was going to be stuck. And so how did Jesus get out of this trap? Well, just like any trap, you disarm it. You have to get the lever and make sure it's not going to snap on your finger, right? And he disarmed it with these well-known words. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. Now, I'm sure you heard of the saying that there are two things that you don't talk about, and religion and politics. And of course, that's wise advice to some degree, because indeed, if you bring up religion or politics in a mixed crowd, somebody's going to fight. Somebody will have an opinion that they'll disagree with you strongly. But as I think about that, you know, talking about religion, is it really ever bad to talk about God? I mean, is there any time that it's wrong to talk about Jesus? No matter how fired the situation might be. And it may be in the same vein, then we should say, is it really wrong to talk about government and our politics and who we think would best rule and govern us? And what do we think of our rulers and you know, what kind of changes need to be made? Is it wrong to talk about those things? Religion and politics. Jesus talked about them. And the people hated him for it. And so our theme, giving to Caesar and giving to God. You know, back in Jesus' day, the prevailing thought was that it was okay to cheat the government. That the government was wicked. Israel felt enslaved by Rome. And of course, they didn't like the Romans at all. They felt like the Roman government was wicked. And so if that authority over them was wicked, it was wrong to support something that's wicked. You don't use your money to support evil. The government is evil, and therefore don't give them your money. And that's how they thought. It was sinful to pay taxes. And the Pharisees used this deep-seated hatred of the Roman government to trap Jesus. And Shakespeare said, politics makes strange bedfellows. And so it was. There were many branches in the Jewish faith. One of them were Herodians. The Herodians were the followers of King Herod, who was a Jew, but he supported Rome. So there were a few Roman supporters. And the ones who supported Rome usually did it with gain. They were wealthy. And then you had the others. And of course, Jesus, in order to trap Jesus, they get the Jews who are against Rome, and they get the Jews who were for Rome, and even though these two groups hated each other, they came together, the Herodians and the Jews, to trap Jesus. And so the trap was set because the Pharisees needed both groups. Now, the Pharisees approached Jesus with flattering words. It was feigned false praise. Teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. Kind of those words made their stomachs turn. We know you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. course, they had to say those words to trap him, right? They hated Jesus. But they continued to butter him up with words, more false praise, hoping to trap him. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Now, what they said about Jesus is actually very true. Jesus didn't care what man thought. If something needed to be said, Jesus said it. He didn't care about the favor of people. He didn't care if people loved him or what he said. If it needed to be said, he spoke it. He wasn't two-faced. The people who had come to him were two-faced. The people who were making a living off of being two-faced. You know, we have them today. There's politicians. And even some pastors can be two-faced. They know what God says, but they'll say what the people want to hear. If the people need to hear it, they'll tell them whether they believe it personally or not. Two-faced. The Pharisees were like that, liars. Two-faced liars. And they used politics for their purpose. The trap was set. Jesus was in it. Everything was ready. And you can almost see the smug smirk on their face as they ask Jesus, we're about to get you. Is it okay to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Of course, like I said, very sensitive topic, paying taxes. The tax collectors also were bad people. They overcharged when they come to your door, and they would take more than the share that you owed, but you had to pay them or they'd throw you to prison. They lined their pockets. They were thieves. The whole system, the whole tax system was corrupt. And that's why this topic of taxes made the Jews sick to their stomachs. So, Jesus, what do you say about taxes? Well, of course, Jesus thinks differently. And indeed, Rome was corrupt. But also were the Jewish leaders corrupt. The church was corrupt. The government was corrupt. Do you know why? Do you know why the church is corrupt and the government is corrupt? It's led by sinful people. It's amazing the church exists. It's amazing governments continue. They're led by sinful people that separate and destroy. And yet, God rules over the church and God rules over the governments. And He uses them for His purpose. God uses sinful people. God uses sinful agencies. God uses sinful governments. God used the sinful Pharisees. God uses every evil to accomplish His purpose, even death on the cross. God uses our nation to accomplish His purpose. You know, He uses our country to protect us in time of war. He uses our country, our government. Without that, there'd be chaos. There'd be a power struggle. There'd be anarchy. He uses the police force to keep us safe. So the policemen are good. We depend on the government to provide infrastructure, the roads and the water and the sewer and the libraries and the parks and the schools, and the list goes on. But what happens when the government is evil? What happens when the government does evil things? Are we supposed to support it? Well, remember this. Number one, the government doesn't have a soul. So God doesn't hold a government accountable like He's going to hold you, a soul, accountable. God uses that soulless agency to accomplish His purposes. And that soulless agency is run by sinful people. And so those sinful people do evil things. And God uses those agencies to accomplish His purposes. Now, you remember back in Hurricane Katrina how there was a flood in the whole area of New Orleans. And terrible things happened in the wake of, in the aftermath of the flooding of in the hurricane. The thieves went crazy. The people went crazy. They just went from house to house and they just stole whatever they wanted to steal. It was the government that came in and put a stop to all that. Brought peace and rest and assistance to the victims. You see, Jesus said we should give the government what it deserves. We should gladly and willingly support that agency that provides us protection because it watches over us. In Romans 13, Paul talks about our duty as citizens. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has already established. So God established government, God established marriage, God established family, and God uses it for his purposes. Is the government corrupt? Yep. Are families corrupt? Yep. But God uses it for good. It keeps our society together. It keeps us functioning. And that's why Jesus teaches an important truth. It is our Christian responsibility to pay our taxes. The authorities are God's servants. So if the state of Iowa decides that they want to raise sales tax 20%, we gladly pay it. It's our duty, whether we like it or not. If the federal income tax decides, if the federal government decides to double our income tax in order to pay the deficit, the national deficit, we pay it, whether we like it or not, because we're faithful to God. No matter how oppressive the taxes may be. The only time we can disobey the government is when the government encourages us or tells us to contradict God's word. If the government forbids us, for example, to gather to worship like they did during COVID, or if the government tells us to stop worshiping or stop praying, then it's a third commandment issue because God commands that we gather, that we worship. And so we obey God rather than men. Again, if the government tells us to stop preaching about sexual sins, that sexual sins are bad, then again, what are we to do? Well, we keep preaching. You know, we keep teaching. We keep talking about all that. Sin is wrong and sin is sin. And we all need a Savior to redeem us from our wicked ways. And while I'm on the topic of government, I also want to take time to talk about the coming elections that happen here in November. As Christians, it's our responsibility and privilege, it's a privilege, to vote for the people who can help our nation, who can help us. Vote for people who understand the Lord's purpose for government. Find out who they are, use this opportunity and vote. Christians need to be in the voting booth. Show your respect for God. Show your respect for the government He's placed over you. Register and vote by voting for leaders, especially the leaders of the United States, as the President of the United States of America. And if you're tired of paying high taxes, then vote for somebody who will lower the taxes. If you think the government needs to give us higher taxes so that we can pay our debt, then vote for people who will increase your taxes. But vote for candidates who will govern wisely. And as you vote this fall, remember that you're more important citizens of God than citizens of America. You represent the God of the universe as you live in this country. Jesus talks about his kingdom. Give to God what is God's. In John chapter 19, Jesus tried to explain his kingdom to Pontius Pilate. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." And then he explained to Pilate, "You're right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So listen to Jesus. He speaks the truth. In John chapter 10, he describes himself as the good shepherd who gives up his life for the sheep. Jesus came to rescue sinful people, to protect them, and to make us members of his kingdom. Jesus also said, "My sheep, my people, listen to my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." You see, the words of Jesus give life. The words of Jesus change our lives. The words of Jesus change how we live. And again, as you draw near to Him in prayer, ask Him to give you wisdom as you go to the booths, the voting booths in November, to cast your ballot. And then remember the words of Jesus, give to Caesar what is Caesar, give to God what is God's. Through holy baptism, God has made you a member of His kingdom. You are a child of God, and you've been born again into a living hope through the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 2 talks about our citizenship in heaven. Consequently, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with God's people. You're members of God's household. Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes, but our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, you have an earthly citizenship, but our citizenship is somewhere else, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring all things under His control will transform our lowly bodies so they'll be like His glorious body. And Martin Luther in a small catechism says, Christ has redeemed me in His kingdom, a lost and condemned creature. He's purchased and won me from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, that I should be His own, that I should live under Him in His kingdom, and that I should serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And so we serve God by living in His kingdom, and we serve God by living as dutiful and faithful citizens of the United States of America. And we give to Caesar what is Caesar, and we give to God what is God's. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.